In Proverbs 23:7, we'll go ahead and turn there. We're talking about what Christianity is really all about. What is it really all about? We brought out 10 things that are very important when you call yourself a believer. One is that we possess the new birth. We now live out of the realm of our spirit. Number two, we are now raised differently. Therefore, we are to live differently. Hollywood and everything else now is coming at us. And they treat Christianity like any other faith. But our faith is different. We do live differently. We have the victory that is needed to overcome this world with. I want to say something that you might want to jot this down. It's very important to do it. God brought us life so we can use this world. God brought us life so we can use this world, not so that the world uses us. The world can use us up if we let it. But God brought us life. And in bringing us that life, we can use the world according to the kingdom of God, and it can't use us. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Number three, we now have the Holy Spirit living in us. In John chapter 14, it says the world can't know the Holy Spirit because it neither knows Him nor sees Him. But we can, praise God, and we can know Him. Praise the Lord. I like this one. We now have authority over our life. We now have authority over life. Kenneth Hagin teaches very strongly on the authority that belongs to a believer. Most believers never really go to that place where they can use their authority as a believer. They continually live as though they were born of a natural birth, and you're not. Your birth is supernatural. We gain a new way of thinking, and that's what we covered last week. Our soul is delivered daily to a new way of thinking. Sad to say, there are many that I've talked to that have come into the kingdom of God, and yet they try to fit the kingdom into their way of thinking rather than reorientating the way that they think according to the Word of God. And we covered that through the book of Romans, Romans 12 on through Romans chapter 15, verse 7. This is where Paul clearly defined what a changed way of thinking is really all about. And it covers every aspect of our life. Number six, our tongue now has the power to speak life. Our lips go where no man has ever gone before. We have the ability to speak to our living Father in the name of Jesus. Before we get born again, many of us didn't have that privilege, but once we get born again, we have a whole new way of communication. It's incredible. Our actions for love now changes according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. It talks about how God works in our heart to change our actions when it comes to loving mankind. Point number 8, our stewardship is changed in the area of our money. 2 Corinthians 8:8-9. Our stewardship has changed in the area of our money. You know, I was listening to an interview that Tony Cook did with a banker. This banker was on the board of a very large church there in Texas. And this particular banker when he was being interviewed by Tony. He said, it's so sad. This banker said, it is so sad that he's members of a large church and he knows many of these members pay up to $400 and $500 a month in fees they should not be paying simply because they don't know how to balance their checkbook nor take control of their spending. But he said, I know personally many of them never tithe a penny into the church. Isn't that sad? They can't gain control over their own money to support the kingdom of God with. And I got news for you people. God's not interested in just pulling money out of you. God's interested in changing the way that you handle your money so that not only are you blessed, but the kingdom is. Praise God. We brought out point number 9 is your friends change. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, and 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 6. Your friends begin to change, or they should. I'll never forget after I got born again, my old friends came knocking at my door. I had a struggle with that, because I told them now that I serve the kingdom of God. Someone said, what in the world are you talking about? Serving the kingdom of God. One of my friends said, well, you know, I've tried that at one time, but everything is no, so I quit. Yeah, everything is no. Well, a lot of them just don't want to take on the responsibility of what it means to be a believer. And then, of course, you have what we call eternal life. It is promised to us. John 3:16. You have life that will live forever. The unbeliever, they will not. They have a eternal being, but when all things are finished, it's incarcerated in the lake of fire for eternity. Boo. I shudder to think of that. Some people just choose not to believe it. Well, whether you believe it or not, the Word of God is truth. And it will prove itself out. The Word of God will prove itself out. Now, the point I want to talk about today is a very important point for our life as believers. Our tongue now has the power to speak life. Our tongue now has the power to speak life. We brought out that in Proverbs 15:4 and Proverbs 18:21. Our tongue now has the power to speak life. Before we became a believer, it did not have that ability. Sad to say, many believers today, their tongue is not controlled by the Word of God. Matter of fact, they get born again, and as a result of the new birth, they don't change the way they think or speak. And so then they speak logic right along with the Word of God. That doesn't work because it's the same mind that controls both. Logic or the Word of God. And that creeps up on all of us. It's the hardest thing to deal with is the power of the tongue. I don't care what any of you say. But you know, I've known believers who've come to church and they confess the Word of God in the church setting. And yet when they leave the environment of the church, they'll hire their tongue out to the highest bidder and speak whatever they want. They can use it to destroy their life. They can use it to destroy their friends' lives. There is power in the tongue. The Bible even declares that. And the further that you go with God and the closer you become with the Father, the more He attacks that area than any other area. And that is what comes out of your mouth. When you're a pastor, you're caught in between both sides of the story. Boy, it's challenging when you got both sides voicing their opinion on something. Sometimes you don't know how to answer people. You just don't. You just leave it alone and hope it works out in them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, in James chapter 3, we're going to go there in just a little bit, but not right yet. I want to cover what it says in Proverbs about the tongue. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 13. If you never thought about it, make a daily devotional reading Proverbs. I do. It's pretty interesting. In Proverbs chapter 13, go to verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You know what that's saying? It's saying that you should not have said things that you said. Because if you're not careful, your words can bring destruction. I don't know how many times I've counseled people in my office, and I always hear this testimony often, how each one will testify that their mate did more damage with their tongue than they did with their fists. Matter of fact, one lady said, I would have rather had him beat on me than say the things that he has said. Words can mean something to one person and mean something else to another. A lying tongue or a liar or a deceiver, they're not careful with their words except to manipulate and control people so that they can get what they want out of them. Well, sometimes even in conflict, you can say words to try to justify your position in the conflict so that you can destroy them and build yourself up. It don't work. But he who guards his mouth, I like this, preserves his life. But he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. In other words, he says things he shouldn't have, and it will bring destruction. Over the course of my life, I've known men who could not control their tongue, and they're not alive today. And it's sad, because their tongue brought swift destruction upon them. Just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time to somebody brought them death. And that's sad, but it's true. So here in Proverbs chapter 3, it's just one thing, one thought about the power of the tongue. Turn over to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And go to verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Isn't that interesting? This is when a believer comes into the kingdom of God. These are some of the verses he needs to really get a hold of. Because here it says the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Isn't that interesting? The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, gives instruction to what he says, and adds learning to his lips. Do you know that when you speak the redemptive work of Christ, you're actually giving learning to what you're saying? Now, if you will, turn to Proverbs 21. And look at verse 23. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Boy, have I learned that. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Do you know that if you want to add learning to your tongue, the first thing that that learning comes from is the mind? Some people speak without their mind. And the Word of God teaches you how to use this Word so that your soul can void trouble. Now, let's really look at the depthness of this Word. In Romans chapter 8, present tense, not Old Testament, it says at verse 7, it says, the carnal mind is in rebellion to God and is not subject to the law of God, not submitted to what a law from God will do. It's not submitted to that. Why? Because the carnal mind is made up of the senses. And so, if you understand how that scripture is using those words, it's literally saying that when God's voice is given to you in any form of that word, when God's voice comes out of that word to you, your carnal mind instantly has a voice against it. Instantly. And what you and I can do when that happens is that we can let the Word of God come out of our mouth to isolate our soul. That's how you isolate the carnal mind, is by what comes out of your mouth. There's no other way to isolate it, because those voices go off in your head, the voice of God and the voice of your carnal man. They go off in your head. And the only way to isolate the soul and keep it from trouble is to let the Word of God come out of your mouth to isolate the carnal mind. That's the whole purpose of it. Many times, I've done this many times, I've stepped out to exercise my faith in an area, and my carnal mind begins to speak. It has a voice because it's made up of reasonings. It's made up of logic. It's made up of the senses. It does not speak from what appears. It only speaks by what it sees. That's why faith is such a difficult message to teach the body of Christ, because believers that are very carnal, that kind of message does not make sense to them. Because it's a whole new way of living. And that's why I'm teaching this, what it means to be a believer. You change the way you think. You change the way you talk. And so, as a result here, it says in verse 23, it has the power to do what? To keep your soul from trouble. I'm sorry, verse 21. It has the power to keep your soul from trouble. I'm going to tell you, your carnal mind always wants to talk the negative side of things. Because what? There's nothing positive about this side. This world has nothing positive about it but what the Word of God in your heart does with it. Amen? And so it tells us right here in this verse, very clearly, it says that whoever guards his mouth and tongue will keep his soul from trouble. Now, I'm gonna challenge some of you here. Maybe some of you do speak with tongues and some of you don't speak with tongues. I thank God the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It does not mean to have a body feeling and your mind to tell you you have all the Holy Spirit when you got saved. No, the day of Pentecost is every person's destiny. You have to have an upper room experience. Now I'm going to tell you something about Isaiah. Just here recently, Jerry Kenyon was sharing with me about how Isaiah talked about the stammering lips in another tongue. I think it's very interesting. Our scholars, you know, have come up to the point with the theological understanding that it's just gibberish. It doesn't really have any meaning there. Matter of fact, Isaiah himself mocked the priests by, in Isaiah 28 there, mocked the priests by speaking gibberish. And so when you look up the word stammering lips, it literally, in the Old Testament, literally meant a language that just seemingly doesn't make any sense. It's just gibberish. That's Isaiah 32 verse 4, 28 verse 11, and 33 verse 19. But you know what the Holy Spirit was trying to get across through the prophet Isaiah? He was trying to get across in his letter an understanding that when God speaks, none of it makes sense to the carnal mind. None of it. And the day of Pentecost is a type of what happened back at the Tower of Babel. Everyone began to speak the same language, had the same mind going. Until one day, they woke up and they couldn't understand each other. So they're sitting there and they're speaking a language that they know, but the person that they're speaking to doesn't understand a word they're saying. Wouldn't that be weird? Wouldn't it be weird if we all came into church, sat down, and then I got up here and I presented a message in a language you didn't even know what I was saying, and you were sitting there and you turned to your friend and said, "Do you understand what he's saying?" And your friend goes, "I don't understand what you're saying." Wouldn't that be weird? You know why God had to do that? To get their brain out of the way. Because they were determined to build a structure taller than any structure on planet Earth so that they go to a place and they can worship themselves as a god. Now, I used to think that they wanted to build a tower right to the third heaven, but that's not where they were coming from. They were totally controlled by the devil. And they wanted to build a landmark where they could go and declare themselves as god on a structure that was higher than any structure that was ever constructed. And you know what? They set their heart to do that. And you know why they could do that? Because everybody could communicate very clearly how to get it done. And so God came down and said, "Yep, now nothing will withhold them from doing that. And so I will confuse their tongue and scatter them." You know why the day of Pentecost came? Because God had to find a tongue or a language he could give to each and every one of us so that each and every one of us could keep our intellect out of the process of receiving the mind that comes from God. Not a mind that can make themselves a God, but a mind that brings God to us. And the first thing he did on the day of Pentecost is he declared the Tower of Babel, but we call it the day of Pentecost. And that is when tongues of cloven fire came and set upon each of them, and they all heard him speak with other tongues. And yes, the head of the Catholic Church was there speaking in tongues. Her name was Mary. Well, thank God there is a portion of the Catholic Church has turned very charismatic. There really is. And so what God had to do is he had to come down and impart a language to our inner man that could communicate to our Heavenly Father and leave our intellect out of the process. Now, I can't tell you the full operation of the full meaning of that, but I can tell you the results I've had with it in my life. When my desire for the kingdom of God began to dry up, I would turn and I would do it as quick as I could because I can feel coldness come upon my life for the things of God. And I would turn to my prayer closet and I would begin to pray in tongues. And my wonderful teacher, who's now with the Father, Kenneth Hagin, said, praying in tongues will charge you up like a battery. It will edify you. It will put a fire back into you. You don't know where it came from. Right? It just puts you on fire for God if you just stick with it long enough to overcome the body of flesh. Because your flesh cannot take the long haul for the kingdom of God. It gets tired, it gets worn out, and it gets disinterested. You want to know why? Because your body does not know how to communicate with God. It just goes along for the ride. The carnal mind does not know how to talk to God. Your carnal mind, you know what it'll do? It'll go along with your spiritual mind for a while. Yeah, maybe there is something there. Maybe it will work. I don't know. Maybe. But you know, after a while, that carnal mind will come back to you and say, enough is enough. It really isn't working. What do you think you're accomplishing? It's the most craziest thing. You don't even understand what you're saying. What good is it doing you? You know where I got this kind of revelation or insight? Doing it. Do you know I'm a spiritual believer? I'm a spiritual believer with a carnal side to me. Oh, don't leave the church, Billy. Just let me finish the message. And I had to face that fact one day out in the park because I was getting fed up with going there 2 and 3 hours every morning and praying and not getting much results. But you know what God told me? He says, you're getting a whole lot of results. It's just your intellect is not prospering by it, never will. But I'll tell you what, your inner man will prosper by it because one morning, kind of like the same morning you woke up and you didn't want to go pray anymore and you were finished and why even go to church? And you've heard the pastor before, he's going to preach something you already know. Well, where do you think that mind come from? You think it was your spirit? Thank God, we know better than that. I actually had a brother, I don't know if he's here or not, I actually had a brother say that he was overhearing a bunch of believers that used to go to our church. leave because they never understood what I preached. They just said, we just had to leave. And they made this statement to him when he confronted them on it. Well, he did tell you about prayer. Are you guys doing that, or did you understand that? I can't remember how he worded it to me, but what I thought was interesting that he shared with me in their conversation, they said, all you ever get there is the word. What a horrible thought. You come to church and all you get's the word. Well, what are we supposed to have besides the word? My gosh. God forbid we would get the word. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If it's going over your head and you don't understand it, you know how you understand the word of God? You pray in tongues. You put your inner man in connection with God. And you leave your outer man out of it. And a fire will build in you. And you'll come into church one day like one sister did. She came in, sat down. I just told her pray in tongues. She started praying in tongues. Came and sat down. She said, all of a sudden I understood you. Voila. It's because you put your spirit in contact with God, as I put my spirit in contact with God, and guess what? We both contact God. Isn't that nice? You get a believer, it starts getting cold. He'll shut his speaking. First thing that'll go is his tongue. He'll shut that puppy right down. And you know what? He won't even think what he's doing. He'll just do it. He'll just do it. And then when he wakes up to himself one day, he goes, I don't know why I didn't keep praying in tongues. Well, it's because you went from the living out of your spirit to living out of the body. Well, that seems so hard and so complicated and so difficult. I'm going to tell you, living out of your body as a believer is hard and difficult. Why? Because you end up in harm's way and you are treated just like any common man because you have no defense and your tongue will not speak life when death knocks at your door. The only thing your tongue will produce is what the carnal mind is speaking. Because it's out of your heart, the abundance of your heart, that your mouth will speak. What is more in the abundance of your heart? Is it your natural man or your spiritual man? Because if it's more out of your natural man, that's the abundance that come out of your mouth. But if it's more out of your spirit, that will come out of your mouth. I love the testimony. Stay away from pastor. Every time you get around him, all he wants to do is talk the word. Praise God. I like that testimony. Isaiah was bringing out the point that to speak unintelligibly, I guess that's how you'd say it, unintelligibly, is that right? Unintelligibly? How do you pronounce it, John Cook? Unintelligent. Isaiah was saying, when a person speaks unintelligently, you didn't put the Lee in there. You know what he said about that? He said that they come to an understanding that the priest would never have. Because the priests would continue to carry on the way they carry on, fall backwards, stumble, snared, and be taken. But the unintelligible person who speaks this gibberish, he will come to life. Something will work for him. So one day I got back into that place where I was with God in that first love that I had, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I said, God, where does this fire come from when I start praying in tongues a lot? Where does it come from? And he says, well, it comes from me. And I said, well, show me in the Word where this fire comes from. He says, you really want to find it in the Word? I said, yeah, show me where this fire comes from when I speak in tongues. Took me to Acts chapter 2. Cloven tongues of fire stood on the head of each of them. He says, the symbol of the candle of the Lord is your inner man. It gets on fire for God. I went, duh. All the time right there in Acts chapter 2, it tells you how to flip your bick. Never saw it until one day I questioned. Was that the old carnal mind getting to, what gun is it doing you? I'll never forget. I says, God, does it really matter all that much if you preach a long times in tongue or just a little short time?
Can I just speak a little itty bit in tongue? Itty bitty?
Because after all, I'm praying the perfect prayer. Just an itty bit. You know what God told me one day? Because I was wrestling with the amount of time praying in tongues. You know what God told me one day? Let me share this with you. He says, you live in Washington where it rains a lot. And you don't know why it rains a lot? Well, not really. He says, what seeds the clouds? Do you guys know what seeds the clouds to make them burst with water? Huh? Isn't that moisture from the earth? Doesn't that moisture go up? Amen? Seed them clouds. And what happens when the clouds get well seeded? It dumps water on you. And you live in Washington and you don't know this? And I'm asking the Lord, how come the length of time produces more than just a little? And he said, when you pray a lot in tongues, he said, out of your belly flow rivers of living water. He says, and you're seeding your cloud over your life. And when that wisdom comes, it comes down on you in torrents. Woo! I said, God, I guess I'm going to go for that long haul. Speaking in tongues. You go through seasons. Sometimes you go through seasons where you just have a short time that you spend. And then there are seasons where you go through a great amount of times praying in tongues. You know, all of us do that. We vary in our amount of time. But I got news for you. If you think back on your life where you spent a lot of time praying in tongues, every one of you had this testimony. I was more on fire for God. It just seems like God was just dumping more on me when I was in that place where I was communicating with Him. And people, I got news for you. Isn't it wonderful that the Word of God that is in your lap, that God gave you, can tell you now to take your tongue and use it as a means to pour the wisdom of God down in your life in torrents. Set you on fire. All you have to do is do it. Everyone that you run across that does not have a desire for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, their testimony to your life will be they're not all that interested in the things of God. It'll show up somewhere in your relationship or your fellowship with them. It'll show up somewhere that they're not just as interested in the things of God as you might be. Am I speaking truth? They're just not as interested. Why? Because their heart's not being affected by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because their mouth isn't being used as an instrument to pray that heavenly language that fell on you that just doesn't really reach your intellect. Some Greek friends of mine, I highly respect them for what they understand of the Greek language, but both of them are non-spirit filled. Both of them have been highly indoctrinated against speaking in tongues. We have some good fellowship till we get down to the issue of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't care how much Greek you know. One thing will always come to the surface with these type of people. They're living out of their intellect. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth, what good is it? It's just gibberish. Oh, we got an Isaiah quotation here. And just stammering lips. Yes, amen. But it's all in what viewpoint you're coming from. Are you trying to understand spiritual things through the outer man? Or are you going to receive understanding from your inner man? We want understanding from our inner man. Dave Roberson, when he's prayed for hours on end, he never knew the effect of praying in tongues till one day he opened his Bible and went in there and he was reading this verse, and all of a sudden he knew what that verse meant, but he didn't know how he knew it. So he came over to me and he says, "Butler, look at this verse." And he quoted the verse, and I went, "Oh, yeah, I understand that one." Dave looked at me and said, "What does it mean?" I said, it means this, bit. And Dave said, "You know what? I used to think that too." And I said, "What do you mean you used to think that?" He says, "You know how I see it now?" And I said, "No, tell me." And when he quoted that verse and gave me the meaning that he'd seen it in, that made more, it just lit me up. I went, "Dave, that's incredible. How did you know that?" Dave said, "I don't know." "Well, where did you get that?" And Dave goes, "It must have been because I was praying." I said, "Wow, if you get any more of that, let me know." So I jotted down what that verse meant. And I said, "If you get any more of them, let me know." He said, "Okay." So a couple months later, I ran into him again. "How you doing?" And he says, you told me to let you know all these verses that I get from." I said, "Yeah." He started quoting me passages. And I said, "That is incredible. Where did you get this? Where did you get that? Who taught you that? What tape did you get? Where did you get that?" You know what he said? "I don't know. I don't know." And I said, "Well, what do you mean you don't know?" He says, "Well, I don't. It must be prayer." And I says, well, how many hours a day are you praying?" He says, "Full 8 hours a day." I went, "Are you really praying full 8 hours?" And he says, "Yeah. I get up when the whistle blows down there at the mill. I go in, I pray, and when the whistle blows, take a break, I'll go on, have lunch or something. I'll go right back, and when the whistle blows, I'll go back to praying in tongues." He did that for months on end. And so I said, "Well, David, let me know when you find out how you're figuring this out, will you?" He said, "Well, the only thing I can tell you, it's got to be my time in prayer." So one day I go to Dave. And he's going to do a meeting in Florence, and I'm going to go with him. We're excited. And we're driving, and he says, "Jan," he says, "I found out where this understanding is coming from. Tell me me, Dave. Tell me. He says, it's incredible. He says, but once I tell you, you got to practice it. Or I ain't going to tell you. I said, don't do that to me, Dave. Tell me, how did you know this stuff? And he goes, well, I figured it out. It's praying in tongues. Now, I don't know how, but I think it has something to do with praying in tongues. I went, really? But you don't understand what you're saying when you pray in tongues. So how can you understand them verses? I don't know. When I find out, I'll let you know. But I think it's praying in the tongues. So then we go over to Isaiah 28 back then. And he says, for no, this is for stammering lips. And he quoted that. That's what we knew back then. And he says, I think that somehow this tongue has a way of bringing us knowledge or insight. And then he went over and quoted some others out of Proverbs where it says, counsel in the heart of man is as deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. He says, so I think praying in tongues is the key to this revelation or insight. Well, nowadays, we know that that is true. We know that's true. And so, when you actually pour out of your innermost being, this tongues, as it comes out of your heart, you're seeding your clouds, and that cloud in the Bible represents wisdom coming from above. That's why Jude said, in the latter days, there are going to be ministers that are very promising. They'll come to you, very promising ministers, seeming very spiritual. He says, but their clouds have no water. It means they don't speak in tongues. They're probably not filled with the Spirit, and they're not seeding the kingdom of God so that that wisdom can come down on them. People, isn't it beautiful? When you understand it, this is so beautiful because you can deliberately determine the destiny of your spirituality simply by using your tongue and knowing how to do it. Did you guys get something here this morning? Yes, praying in tongues will change your whole life. It'll be drier than cracker juice to begin with. You will struggle because your body cannot stand being left out of the equation. It struggles every time you start talking to God in your inner man and he's left out of the equation. You will struggle physically for your prayer closet. I've done it. Many times I told you that. The one thing you will struggle with more than anything else is your prayer closet as a believer. Another thing that you'll struggle with the rest of your life is your finances. One has life for the spirit, the other one has life for the body. In those two areas you'll struggle with your whole life as a believer. Money and prayer. Am I lying to you or what? Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this wonderful people. And as they stand and we close this service, if there be anybody here that has never really given their heart and life to Jesus who would like to, so that they can begin to partake of these benefits of being a believer and what it's all about. And Father, even though I didn't get to the fullness of what I wanted to talk about tonight, I felt your spirit was leading me in this direction. And so, Father, even when we close this service, if there's anybody that's been out of fellowship with you and wants to come back into your presence, Father, we will pray for them. And if there's somebody here that is not filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language, don't deny yourself the fire. Receive it today. Hallelujah. It might be gibberish to you, but I'll tell you what, who cares as long as your intellect is left out of the process, because your intellectual part of your being is carnal. It does not want to submit to God. It's a rebellion to the kingdom of God. And those of you that have spoken in tongues, if you want me to lay hands on you this morning and pray for you, I will do that. You got to let that tongue go again. Get it to working. Get some Holy Ghost oil into those little muscles there in that tongue. Get it to wagging. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do it when you're riding in your car. Do it real low when you're at work. Do it when you're going home. Do it when you're working in the yard. Do it when you're going to meet friends. Do it when you're coming and going. Just pray in the Spirit. And your life will change. If you want physical healing, we'll be glad to pray for you. Well, with that said, if we have any new visitors that want to meet with me and ask questions after the service, we have a hospitality room in back. And someone will greet you and take care of you while you're there. Well, with that said, you can all go home.